Limitless Wrestling fans, this is episode 19, I think, of the Limitless Wrestling Podcast. John Alba, Randy Carver, the czar of Limitless Wrestling here, and we have yet another edition of the show for you. Randy, what's going on?
Not much, man. Happy to be home after a crazy weekend. How are you?
I am well. It's been a bit of a crazy week here, too, but reading some of the feedback from last week's podcast, people excited. I think a lot of people really appreciated the behind-the-scenes look at the Vacationland Cup. What have you heard?
Yeah, I agree. I had a lot of people, even at the Pirate Festival, coming up and just saying how they really enjoy hearing about how these shows kind of come together and, you know, all the problems that we can encounter because, you know, they do pop up every time. So very, very positive feedback overall over last week's episode.
And people like the new and improved co-hosts of this show.
I do too, man. Okay, I was sick of the other one.
Sounds good to me. So yes, busy weekend. We will get to that busy weekend that you had. Lots of travel, lots of bad weather. I myself encountered lots of bad travel weather too. I'll elaborate on that because it certainly played into what you're talking about. But before we even get into any of that, before we get into any Limitless Wrestling discussion, we're going to talk about the sister promotion, Let's Wrestle. Because Let's Wrestle's got a show coming up this Friday at the American Legion Post 84 bell time. 7:30, you never know who's going to show up to a show like that. But we do know a few names that are going to be there. We know the Mainstay Posse is facing Todd Harris and Calvin Strange. The Mike McCarthy Open Challenge is on the card. Brett Domino and Davey N, Alexander Lee and Scott Wilde. Cool People versus Insanely Rude. Plus, Eric Johnson, Fox Vineyard making the trip up as well. Always a favorite around these neck of the woods. What are you expecting out of this show? Of course, the Retrosexual will be there as well.
Yeah, Anthony Green makes his Let's Wrestle debut against the ace, Mike Montero. But this is going to be a super fun one. And just before I forget it, if there are any aspiring professional wrestlers, referees listening to this, Anthony Green's actually going to be holding a seminar before the event. You can message us on Facebook for more details on that. But I'm really looking forward to it. Let's Wrestle Volume 1 was a huge success. It's very nice to, you know, be back in kind of my home area having shows. You know, Orono's only 25 minutes up the road from me. I know it's very close for you as well. It's a cool little change in pace to kind of be back home. And I said that with our sound guy, ring announcer for Let's Wrestle, Ethan. Just we're postering, you know, I think last week, and it's just kind of cool because it's very reminiscent of early Limitless Wrestling, and you know, we're doing a lot of cool things with a lot of guys who, you know, you don't get to see on those Limitless shows. Guys like Calvin Strange and Todd Harris and Davey N and Brett Domino. Brett Domino you see on Limitless shows, but you know what I mean.
See too much of Brett Domino sometimes.
I do agree. Mike McCarthy is another one. It's just a very cool roster. A lot of cool people to work with. No pun intended with the cool people, but it'll be a fun show. Tickets are still available online. Go to limitlesswrestling.com under the Let's Wrestle banner. Just $10 for front row seats, $8 for general admission, and both are still on sale until tomorrow night. So you can still jump on that. Come see us Friday in Orono.
What do you like about the Let's Wrestle shows in terms of change of pace from the Limitless shows? Because they're not carbon copies.
No, I can tell you it's a lot less stress, you know, being able to have everything within 25 minutes. So, you know, I'm a very forgetful person. I won't lie. So there's a lot of shit that I can forget on days of shows. So it's a lot less stress knowing I could just, you know, turn around, head 20 minutes back home, and just a lot easier, I think, to set up, you know, the shows in general, because when the shows are in Westbrook or Portland, I don't always have an opportunity to drive down there and do, you know, a ton of postering. So I have to set up some ground crews locally. And if anything really goes wrong, you know, that it has to be fixed a couple days before an event or any meetings or anything like that, you know, that's a day trip to get there. So it's just a lot easier in general. And it's fun too, because, you know, it's a lot of my, you know, friends who don't necessarily all travel down to the Westbrook shows because it is a long trek. They all go to these shows again. So it's very fun.
It is fun, and the American Legion Post 84 is a great venue for that, too. I'm sure they're happy to have you back.
They are. One of the only venues I've ever run that are actual wrestling fans. So they're very happy to have us back, and we're very happy to be back.
It should be a lot of fun, so go check out that show this coming Friday. Let's Wrestle, Volume 2. I like the whole... Let me ask you this, because we've never really talked about this. Who came up with the whole comic book theming thing?
That's the Danger Kid thing. Mm. We all have a... We have a big group chat, myself, MSP, and Calvin Strange, and we're all kind of the pieces behind Let's Wrestle. So we all bullshit about anything, really, and that's where that kind of idea came up, where we kind of wanted to... We did, you know, from the beginning, we kind of wanted to mark each event in succession somehow, but we didn't just want to put in numbers. So it was his suggestion to kind of go that route with not only the volume part with every show, but also the first poster, especially of this. It looked like the front of a comic book, which was really rad.
It is rad. It's got a unique look. I don't think there's anyone else doing anything like that. And anytime you can come up with something unique in pro wrestling, that is a pretty good thing. Side note, did you get a chance to watch any of the G1 New Japan?
I haven't had a lick of time to do so, but I've heard, like, just people are saying, you know, per usual, that it was exceptional.
It really was. It really was exceptional. And the finals between Kota Ibushi and Tanahashi, just, oof, my God, what a match. Go check it out. I'm bringing up New Japan for a reason. This past week, we found out New Japan and Ring of Honor, they've sold out Madison Square Garden. And this is the first time that a non-Vince McMahon property has sold out Madison Square Garden since, like, the 1950s. What does that say about the state of pro wrestling right now? Because keep in mind, people are out there, and I'm going to debunk a popular theory here. People are out there saying, well, they were able to sell it out quicker because it's WrestleMania weekend. Well, Ring of Honor has been running that same exact show every single WrestleMania weekend for the past decade. And they haven't sold out. And they haven't even come close to putting up the numbers this one did. So what has happened in this last year and a half, 2 years, that's allowed something like this to happen, that allows professional wrestling to take a big step? Because, Randy, I think we've taken a huge step here.
No, I definitely agree. And I think if you...
And New Japan's running in Lewiston, too.
Yeah. If you look at that, you know, them selling... I'll get back to the Lewiston thing. Let me roll around to it. If you look at them selling out Madison Square Garden, and it was what? It was within an hour or 2 hours?
They had the pre-sale where they sold around 9,000 tickets, and then they finished the rest on Friday.
That's fucking insane. But if you look at that and you don't see just an outstanding change in professional wrestling over the past few years, you're insane. It's really crazy how much wrestling has changed. And, you know, you can look at the WWE product from 5 years ago to today. You can really look at any major product and just see how much the change of independent wrestling has changed it. Because, you know, wrestlers are really changing this because, you know, you look at All In, for instance, another one. That's another major step for independent wrestling. But as you said, Ring of Honor has been doing this for years. Most major promotions run a close show to WrestleMania on WrestleMania weekend, because why the fuck wouldn't you, when WrestleMania is drawing, you know, what, 60, 70, 80,000 wrestling fans in that weekend? It's a no-brainer to run WrestleMania weekend if you have the ability to do so. And, you know, as you said, Ring of Honor has not done exceptional numbers, or, you know, not what they expected or not what you'd believe.
Nothing close to this.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a major step, and this shows just how popular not only Ring of Honor New Japan, but independent wrestling is as a whole. So very, very huge. And I think them coming to Lewiston is very interesting. And I think that, you know, I'm not trying to toot our own horn or anything, but I think that shows the impact that Limitless Wrestling has had on mm-hmm. main professional wrestling. Because, fuck, man, if this was, you know... Ring of Honor has been on TV in Maine for a long fucking time, like at least since, and I don't know the, you know, dates here, so someone can tweet it at me, but I remember since Tyler Black was fucking Ring of Honor champion, they've been broadcast in the state of Maine. So it's nothing new. Like, this isn't a new market for them. It is for shows, but it's not new for television. So to show that now, you know, in 2018, now they're coming to Maine, I think that shows the impact that we've had in just 3 years on the Maine wrestling scene.
I don't disagree with any of that. You mentioned All In, and to a greater extent too, this Ring of Honor New Japan show. There's a lot of Limitless alum on these shows.
Yeah, and we'll, it's pretty crazy.
At some point in time, we'll get to a show where we talk about guys who have come through Limitless and going on beyond, but you know, All In's right around the corner here. How does it make you feel, Randy, seeing these guys on those shows? I mean, Ethan Page is in that Battle Royal.
Yeah, that it's huge. Ethan Page is in that. Jordan Grace, who is just here. It's so cool because, you know, and another thing that's cool for me is to, like, see these independent wrestling pioneers, I guess I'll call them, on the show as well, with Matt Cross and Colt Cabana, just for a couple. But it's such a cool thing because, like, who wouldn't want to be a part of this event? And there's so many ways that some of the best independent wrestlers in the country are getting to be a part of this show, whether it's on All In or the All In pre-show that's going to be on WGN America. Like, how crazy is that? Just take a step back. Or if not there, then at StarCast or at the at Flip's party that he's doing for like four hours.
All Out.
Yeah, All Out. It's just really cool. It's a really cool independent wrestling experience, and it's a major step for professional wrestling, just like the MSG sellout is. So I know there are some fans from Maine going. I hope they have an exceptional time because this is really something that I think everyone, all independent wrestling fans, would want to witness.
I'll give a cheap plug to my podcast, Living the Gimmick. We've talked extensively about All in the past couple of weeks and kind of hitting on what you just said, this transformation that we're seeing. And yeah, Randy, I think...
What are you most excited for in All In?
Let's see. Well, first off, Omega versus Pentagon was announced this weekend, and that's just awesome. Truth be told, Randy, one of my, and I'm sure you kind of feel the same way here if you've really been paying attention, the story that they've been telling with Flip Gordon here, and this rise that Flip Gordon has had from guy that I saw work an IWE show in front of 70 people at the Cityside restaurant to guy who has one of the most interesting stories going into this transformative pro wrestling pay-per-view. I can't wait to see what's going to happen with him.
Yeah, it's super cool to see, like, and he, you know, he wasn't in Limitless a ton, but
no,
he was in every single year. So it was kind of cool to see that metamorphosis. Just if you go back and, you know, if you watch his match with Anthony Green from our second show, and then, you know, you watch some of his more recent matches with us, whether it's with Lince Dorado or Brian.
Well, I was going to say, and I remember at the end of the Lince Dorado match, Lince Dorado said, "Hey, man, it's not going to be before long that you hit the big time." And he was right about that.
He's not wrong.
And I think, plus Flip Gordon, if you know him, he's just a stand-up guy. He's the real deal. He is the real deal. So I think Flip Gordon's probably what I'm most excited to see. Whatever comes of that with All In with him, but it's awesome. It's just such a great thing, and there's some really fantastic stuff happening on that show. And you know, it's not even about the matches itself; it's about what this means for pro wrestling going forward. And plus, you know, there's all those CM Punk rumblings going around, and whether you buy into that or not, I think it goes without saying that CM Punk played a huge part in bringing independent wrestling to the mainstream light. And
I think a lot of people, especially when he got signed, I think a lot of people started to dive into, you know, okay, where are these guys coming from who, you know, we don't know about, because, you know, he was one in that first wave. And then after him was Daniel Bryan. And then you started,
and I agree with that, what you're saying, but he was the first quote unquote indie darling to break through.
Right.
And become the top star in wrestling. And that had a rippling effect for guys like Kevin Steen to get signed. You know, for other guys in that same... For guys like Tyler Black to get signed. And other guys who have gone through Limitless Wrestling and gone on to find success. And, man, when I watch a JT Dunn, I think so much of CM Punk. I don't know if you do, but whenever I watch him, that's all I think of is CM Punk. And it's not a bad thing.
No, I mean, if you're going to be compared to someone, why not?
Yeah. Just wanted to hit on that because I think that's interesting and how it's reflective of the independent wrestling scene and kind of what you said. I think Limitless has certainly played into that, and nothing wrong with that. I think it's amazing that New Japan's coming up here, and like you said, 3 years ago, they would not be. It's that simple. So,
man, not even close.
So you had a pretty crazy weekend with this Pirate Festival. A lot of hype going into it. You were excited to give people a free Limitless show, family-friendly Limitless show, but the weather was not friendly. I was supposed to fly to Jersey at 6 a.m. Saturday morning. I got on the plane, got up at like 4 in the morning, got on the plane, sat on the tarmac for an hour and a half, and they turned around and said that we're not getting into Newark today. So that was my day. I can only imagine what happens when you find out that we're supposed to have a wrestling ring outside and it's going to downpour.
Yeah. Well, I had been watching the weather all week. And, you know, I love, honestly, like, I love doing fair shows. I think they're really fun. No stress, usually. But, you know, they're cool because the fairs, you know, or festivals, whatever, they bring us in. And, you know, we're given a cool time slot to have a fun show and maybe appeal to some new fans who are at the festival. And, you know, it's a free fest, so anybody can come in. And it was just, you know, all good. And then you watch the weather just deteriorate throughout the week. And then you're sitting there Thursday looking at the weather that's like 90% chance of rain when, you know, bell time is supposed to be. So you kind of have to start planning for other things. So I got in contact with the festival and tried to see if there was any sort of place around there that we could hold the show, or if there was any tenting that was available. And unfortunately, they didn't have any tent space for us, so it was really up in the air Thursday night. So I was trying to look into, or Friday night rather. Fuck, I'm so used to having shows on Friday. This was Friday night I'm talking about. So Friday night, yeah, it's looking pretty bleak because there's no tent space there. So I'm looking at any possible tent rental place possible. And, you know, it dawns on me pretty quick that it's, you know, the second week of August. So there's probably some weddings or something going on. So that's exactly what I encountered the next morning. I woke up extremely early to try to find any place locally that I could rent a tent big enough, because obviously it has to be, you know, a certain kind of tent that can fit a 16 by 16 wrestling ring under it. And unfortunately, nothing. I tried Central Maine. I tried Southern Maine. I even tried a place in New Hampshire. And there was nothing available. So we were kind of up Sheets Creek at that point. That was about 8:30 in the morning. And I had already had people messaging me who were coming from, like, the New York or the lower Massachusetts area. And they're like, yo, is this show actually happening? Because it's fucking downpouring here. And it was just damage control at that point, really trying to figure out, you know, how we could hold this show. Because I was not confident in going out there on the field and setting up the ring and just, you know, hoping it didn't rain when the forecast is 90%. You know, we have a lot of electronic equipment. We had Tanya there who has cameras that can't get wet. So, you know, it didn't seem like the best plan. So luckily, I got in touch with our resident pirate who set this up for us, Fred. And he had somebody get in touch with the fire chief. And then I was able to go down and actually speak with the fire chief about potentially holding the show at the fire station, which is fucking, how weird is that?
Was it close to the venue?
Yeah, it was literally the next address. So it was,
okay, so it was within vicinity of it.
Yeah, it was a stone's throw, if I can put it in main distance terms. but yeah, it was super close. I could definitely tell that the fire chief was not about it at first, because he kind of made the insinuation that we should set up and wait, and then if it rains, move it. But I'm like, dude, you know, we have to set up a professional wrestling ring, and we have to set up all of our equipment. Like, this isn't just something that can be torn down and moved very quick. So, you know, it was just kind of selling him on, you know, we should just do this just in case. And so then it was all good from there. He allowed it, and we went down, checked out the space. They took out all the fire trucks and put them by the road, and we brought in the professional wrestling ring and set it up. And it was a very interesting setup, too. I don't know if anyone listening ever went to any of the wrestling shows that were at Thatcher's in South Portland, but that was literally on a loading dock, so the ring was on a slant, and that's the same thing that we dealt with at the fire station, because they have the drain that runs down, like, the middle of the garage. So we were kind of set up like on a slant, and it was very, looked very sketchy setting it up. But once we got it all together, it was all good. So Needless to say, it was a wild morning, and there was a couple hour stint where I did not think the show was going to happen, but we were gonna try all options to hope that it did.
The past 2-3 weeks have not been kind to you when it comes to circumstances, huh?
No, but like this, you know, everything that's happened makes it easier from here on out. You know, either.
Well, there's got to be for you. There's got to be a certain sort of gratification of being able to actually get a show off the ground like that when stuff happens.
There is, but for one fucking time, I'd love it to be easy. Truly. But so, yeah, I mean, it's cool because like now, you know, after the past couple weeks, these situations just prepare you for shit that can happen down the line.
So how many people,
it helps us tighten up our events.
How many people showed up for this fire station show?
I would say, because we had people kind of coming in and out, so I would say probably between 100 to 130 probably passed through.
Okay.
And then we had, you know, the dudes from the fire station, as much as they weren't necessarily pleased at first.
I'm sure they loved it.
A lot of them, they had their phones out at the end and they were asking all about it. And they had most of them seemed like they actually had a pretty good time.
So you think you made some new Limitless Wrestling fans?
Yeah, I would think so. You know, one dude was actually asking all about it and he might go to the Westbrook show.
There you go.
That was pretty cool.
Tell us a little bit about some of the matches.
So the cool thing about these fair and festival shows, and I think I've said it before, is like this is a cool opportunity for us to be able to try out some new talent that may have inquired with Limitless, or maybe some talent that we saw at a studio taping that we, you know, haven't got a chance to have on a Westbrook or Portland event yet, or, you know, just talent that I've seen who I just literally haven't had a spot for until now. So this is a good time to kind of, I love these events because we also tape them all for YouTube. So they're all going to be, you know, free released for the public. But there were some real fun matches. Chris Statlander wrestled Ashley Vox's sister, Delmi XO, which was kind of a neat request from Ashley Vox to have that match take place. Puff wrestled Brett Domino. And this one I'm super excited to release because this is such a fun match. Puff is probably the funnest professional wrestler I've ever seen. Definitely a dude to watch out for, and he'll be on some Limitless Wrestling shows here pretty soon. And Brett Domino just keeps getting better. I say that every time I watch him go, but he just keeps getting better in the ring. And I think a lot of people are worried about him, you know, in Limitless Wrestling with no DL Hurst to team with, but I think he's going to be just fine. The main event was a barn burner, Danger Kid and Aiden Agro versus Kevin Blackwood and Daniel Garcia. I think this is one that we'll definitely have to have on a Westbrook or Portland show at some point because, you know, everybody knows Danger Kid Agro and Blackwood can go. Daniel Garcia, you know, kept right up with everybody and was laying out Agro and Danger Kid throughout the match. So check that one out when it drops. Also, Alexander Lee, Mike McCarthy, a very fun fight. Davian versus Mike Law was super fun. Everything from the day, very fun stuff. And you're going to see it all for free, youtube.com/limitlesswrestling pretty soon. And if you were there, definitely tweet me and let me know who you liked because there were, you know, a ton of new faces or just faces that hadn't been there in a while in Limitless Wrestling. So I want to know who you liked and who you want to see back.
Can we predict that we'll see similar shows like this down the line?
Yeah, I mean, coming up September 8th, Saturday night, well, Saturday evening, we're going to be at the Litchfield Fair in Litchfield, Maine. It's about 10 minutes from the West Gardner area, so kind of between Southern Maine and Central Maine. That'll be a super fun one. That is also a 5 p.m. bell time, and I am not sure on ticket prices yet. I do believe it's pretty low, and it's a whole pass for the day. So you get into the fair, you also get the wrestling for free. So we're going to have an event page up later this week.
Let's talk about wrestling and fairs here. The first thing I ever did with a pro wrestling match or company or anything, I was a plant for a pro wrestling match at a county fair, probably when I was 18 years old, something like that. So that always resonates with me when I see that kind of environment. I imagine you probably went to your fair share of Skowhegan State Fairs in the day and saw some wrestling.
Oh, yeah. They used to have it at the Bangor State Fair as well.
There you go. And what are some of your memories about that?
Oh, man. So I saw Tony Atlas versus Demolition Axe.
Was wow. One of the main events. At a state fair.
Yeah, man. They're some of the, you know, weirder shows sometimes, because it's just like, you know, sometimes I think fairs will, and a lot of fairs get burnt out on wrestling companies, which is why some fairs are totally against wrestling, because they'll be contacted by a promoter who sometimes isn't really a promoter. It's just a dude trying to make a buck. And he'll say, yo, I can bring this pro wrestling show, but I need like $8,000. And they're like, hell yeah. And then they get burnt because the promoter, you know, it's, you know, might be, you know, untrained talent with a ring. And that's what the fair gets, you know. So those situations have happened, which is why some fairs are totally against it. But I love fair shows. Like, I know a lot of my friends, actually, who became wrestling fans. They had no idea of professional wrestling until they saw it at a fair. So I think they're cool, because I think a lot of times they can be, you know, whether it's kids or adults, it can be their first live professional wrestling experience.
I think that's a good point, that it can be a kid. It can be a little kid.
Yeah.
And you usually get pretty, at fairs, you get family-friendly stuff for the most part. Not all the time. I would say
for 99% of the time.
I've seen some crazy stuff.
It's supposed to be family-friendly 100% of the time, but then an F-word slides, and then it's not.
And next thing you know, you know, doughboys are flying, and it's just not good. Did you see the piece I did on the Bucchino's Italian Sausage?
I didn't, but I
watched it. Oh, my God, man. Go check it out. I went to the Bangor State Fair. I put on my inner Guy Fieri and did a full Triple D segment on Bucchino's Italian Sausage. Like, when I think of fairs, I think of, like, pro wrestling, and I think of fair food. Like, forget the, who cares about the rides, who cares about the games, and I'm thinking about the food.
Hell yeah.
And I'm thinking about pro wrestling, and man, dude, I got the behind the scenes scoop of how they make those sausage sandwiches. So freaking good.
I'm gonna have to watch that. I gotta make sure that I'm not hungry though. Yeah, so I'll go to the kitchen and make something stupid.
The peppers and onions, it was like candy.
Oh yeah,
good Italian stuff. Tweet at Randy Carver and tell him your favorite fair food. That's what we want to hear about. All right, so we really haven't talked too much about the normal Limitless product on this show, so let's kind of transition into that. We've got the third anniversary show coming up. Go ahead, give the details about that before we get into it.
Oh, yeah. Friday night, September 21st, we're back in Westbrook, Maine for Pretenders Beware. Crazy, crazy tickets gone so far. If I'm remembering correctly, we sold out front row and VIP in under 10 minutes. It was just insane. Front row went in 2 minutes this time, which is the quickest it's ever gone. It actually, like, this is one of the few times that Squarespace has crashed for me in the middle of trying to edit the website, because, you know, it was just crazy this time. I believe, and I last counted on Sunday, so I believe at this point there's about 250 tickets already gone. So definitely, if you're looking to make it to this show, the three-year anniversary of Limitless Wrestling, grab your tickets, limitlesswrestling.com/tickets. Already announced, the main event will be Ace Romero versus JT Dunn. It's two guys who, you know, they have quite an extensive history from living together and training together in Providence to now being really, really weird with each other. And I don't even want to say weird, probably prideful, but a little too prideful. It's definitely getting in the way of the friendship. But,
well, Randy, it's a winner-takes-all match. That's what it is.
It's true, man.
It's a winner-takes-all.
Ace Romero's been here from the very beginning. JT Dunn has been here since May of 2016. Both of them have had just, you know, some of the biggest matches in their careers in Limitless Wrestling. So a lot of pride on the line. You know, who really built this house? We're going to find out. It's Ace Romero and JT Dunn. And then Chris Dickinson, once again, calling out Brian Cage, but this time it's officially set. Chris Dickinson, Brian Cage, round two at Limitless Wrestling goes down on the 21st of September. Also announced, Sami Callihan, Josh Briggs, and DJ Z.
I was watching Sami Callihan on MLW this past week, and man, this guy is just building and building and building. Just, he is one of the breakout stars of 2018 in pro wrestling.
I think just as much as Cody and the Bucks and Omega are responsible for this this seismic change in independent wrestling. I think Sammy Callahan stands in that same group. And I always, you know, as much credit as he does get, I always say that he does not get enough credit, because there's a lot of these guys from the Midwest and from the Ohio area who, you know, really wouldn't be anywhere close to the places that they are without Sammy Callahan. He helps people just so much. And he's very underrated in this big change of independent wrestling.
I also saw one Harry Aaron, too, on MLW as I was watching the match. I said, hey, I know that guy.
Harry's
seen
the man.
I've seen him a few times. So why is this show so meaningful? Obviously, it's the anniversary show, it's your baby, but what is it going to be about this show that people should care so much about?
I almost look at the, you know, each September as kind of like a checkpoint in Limitless Wrestling.
Is it your WrestleMania?
If you want to call it that, yeah, I think the lights shine the brightest every September in Limitless Wrestling because, you know, as history has shown, these are the highest attended shows. You know, some of the biggest matches in Limitless history happen on these shows. So, and you know, we've seen some pretty meaningful victories that really set guys up for a year of, you know, success in Limitless Wrestling from these shows. So it is the biggest show of the year in Limitless Wrestling. It's coming off the heels of the Vacation Land Cup, which was an amazing show. So, you know, it's a big launching point for guys in Limitless Wrestling, I think, because if you can start off, you know, make your debut or make your return or make, you know, the biggest victory of your life happen at this anniversary show, big things are on the way.
So one of the cool things about the September show is it is a chance for a lot of talent to make their mark in Limitless. Last year, Anthony Green beating Ace Romero. He's gone on to do incredible things, not just in Limitless Wrestling, but all over professional wrestling, all over the East Coast. He just had a chance to wrestle some of his childhood idols this past week. He wrestled Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I think a lot of that is in due part to the success he's had in Limitless Wrestling in particular. You continue, you can go just up and down the card here. The Thick Boys, they started teaming together in September, and they've gone on to pick up huge wins. Teddy Hart reinvigorates his career with a match against MJF, and now he's the man in independent wrestling. Who are we looking at as a breakout star this year?
It's tough to say, man. It's really tough to say until this card really comes together. But, you know, you can look at some of the regulars who are on most Limitless shows. You know, I think we're looking ahead to, you know, what could possibly be the biggest year in the careers of people like Christian Casanova, mm-hmm. or an Ashley Vox, or even a Hot Scoop Skyler. I don't know, man. You know, as usual, the card is wide open for this show. Things can change at any minute. So really, once this card comes together, it'll be easier to say. But, you know, there will be some debuts like usual on Limitless shows. And what a place. I hope everyone debuting knows how big of a stage this is going to be in September. And I hope anybody returning to Limitless knows that as well. Because, you know, all eyes are on this show.
Well, one guy debuting is DJ Z.
Yeah, man. One of the most insane luchadors in the country. So, you know, this is a pretty big show for him to debut on. And, you know, he'll want to win. Obviously, what better way to debut than to win at the biggest show of the year?
There's certainly a wide open card. And you can kind of fantasy book who's going to face who, all this kind of stuff. I'm very curious to see what Sammy Callahan's going to do on this particular show. Is there anyone that you'd like to see really step to the plate in this next coming year as we turn the page on year two and go into year three? I know I just asked you who you think is going to, but who do you want to see grab that proverbial brass ring and become a star in Limitless this year?
That's a good question. I think...
And this can be you challenging someone to step to the plate.
Yeah, and I think an obvious answer is the mainstay posse, and not just one of them, but all three of them, because, you know, I can't take anything away from Danger Kid, because he, you know, he was victorious in the Triple Threat. He made it to the finals of the Vacation Land Cup. He was eliminated first in the Vacation Land Cup, but still got a victory, still made it there. And then this past Saturday at the Pirate Fest, man, All of MSP came out victorious. Alexander Lee defeating Mike McCarthy in singles action. Danger Kid and Aiden Agro defeating Kevin Blackwood and Daniel Garcia in tag team action. It seems like they're on the right track right now, but can they do it as a trio? That's what Joey Eastman has been asking all along. Can they do it as a trio? He hasn't believed in the mainstay posse. He hasn't believed in anything they've stood for. So, you know, they've got to prove it, though. They've got to prove it in trio's action. They want to be this trio representing Maine, representing Limitless Wrestling, and they want to be successful. They need to prove it. So I think September will be a good time to, I mean, that's the best time to do it. They got to do it at some point. And I would also say Kevin Blackwood, and this is, you know, nothing that he's done wrong per se, but man, he won that six-man scramble last time. You have to step up to the plate with something big in September, right? Like you can't just, it's got to be another win. You got to string something together, get some momentum, man. And he's got some right now. That's a huge match to win.
I definitely agree with you on Kevin Blackwood. MSP, we'll see. I do wonder sometimes, what is MSP's ceiling? Obviously, we know there's a ton of potential, but with them being the act that they are, is there a limit? And ironically, is there a limit?
I wonder that, too, because, you know, they've been put in some big match situations in Limitless Wrestling. You know, they had the trios match against Joey Ryan and Massage NV September of last year. They weren't victorious. They wrestled the Thick Boys, but it's Danger Kid and Alexander Lee. There's no Aiden Agro. They don't get the job done. Ashley Vox, Alley Cat, Chris Statlander, three very different personalities who had never been a trio before. They defeated them in January. So what, you know, what do they need to do? What is their ceiling? That's a pretty good fucking question.
That is something that I think that would be a really interesting story to see unfold over the course of year three of Limitless. I think that's something we'll have to keep our eyes on. Something tells me the mainstay posse will look a lot different a year from now than how it currently looks. Not just necessarily in personnel, but, you know, are all three of these guys going to break through? Is one of them going to break through? I'm curious to see that.
Me too.
We did get a few questions this week. One of the questions that you got was asking about WrestleMania weekend, circling back to that. And you obviously have established a reputation for this Upper Northeast crowd here, this Upper Northeast region. But a lot of promotions often go down to where WrestleMania is and try to run there. This year, it's in the New Jersey, New York vicinity. There are a ton of promotions there. It is very expensive to run in that area. What do you foresee Limitless doing this year come WrestleMania season?
I'd love to give you an honest answer of a yes or no, but I have no idea what we're going to be doing. It is quite expensive to run in that area because of the athletic commission in the New York area. There's also a shit ton of promotions down there. So you got to believe that Mania weekend is going to be pretty swamped with shows, more so than usual, because it's not, you know, it's not in a rando spot like New Orleans, Louisiana, where there might be a promotion or two. This is New York, New Jersey, where there's, you know, probably 50 plus promotions in that area. You know, I'm probably lowballing that, but there's a crazy amount of promotions in that area. So I don't really know, because, you know, I'd love to go down there and have a banger show and really get the word out about Limitless Wrestling. But on the flip side, I'd also love to run a banger show right in Portland or in Westbrook for the people not going to WrestleMania weekend.
Would you be open to teaming up with another promotion to make something happen?
Yeah, I'm always open to that, man. If it makes sense for both of us and it makes sense for the fans, I'm always open to that.
I guess we'll have to get the wheels turning on that.
Absolutely.
Somebody else asked me, too, about MJF, and I know MJF's been a sensitive topic for you in the past, but he did suffer an injury recently, and they wanted to know if you'd had any contact with him.
Very little. He actually sent out a funny tweet this past weekend just saying that we're unprofessional, so that was cool, but...
Did he? I didn't see that.
What's that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, it was... It's today that we're taping it, that it happened.
Okay,
but,
so Sunday.
Yeah. You know, I have had very little contact with him. I don't think any, actually, since we last spoke about the date confliction. So, I hope that the injury is not, I don't believe from what I've heard that it's extremely serious. So I'm guessing that he's going to be back for, all in. And, you know, I wish him well. I don't wish, you know, any harm upon anybody. But, you know, I saw a couple questions asking if he'd be back in Limitless, and that's just, you know, not
in
the cards.
I'm looking at this tweet right now. Today is Sunday, and at LW Main is still the biggest joke in all of professional wrestling. Maybe things will change tomorrow, but probably not.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
It's just unprofessional. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm supposed to feel any certain way about it, but I don't know. I think he should be focused on his own stuff right now and not us. He's, you know, and I've heard from colleagues, I'll say, that he's called me very unprofessional for putting the situation out there. But, you know, why wouldn't I be honest with people about what happened with Date Conflictions?
Would you still be open to letting bygones be bygones and bringing him back under the right circumstances?
I always say never, but it's not happening right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough, man. That's tough. Again, this is a guy who really has just found so much success and should be a staple of Limitless Wrestling. There's no reason for him not to be.
Yeah, and he was. That's the thing is, you know, but the big thing that I've always said to people is that if I'm going to make you a priority, I need you to make me a priority too. Because I can't, you know, how can we build anything? How can we do anything, really, if I have guys who are just going to, you know, take our dates and then pass them up for something else at the last, you know, I won't say at the last second because it was with notice. But fuck, like, if we're building to a certain thing even if we're not, if we have dates set for fucking, you know, 4 months, don't accept them and then, you know, say that you forgot or say that you didn't write them down. You took something else and you're going to keep the other one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's rough. Turn the page on this. Who is one name from the past that we haven't seen in Limitless in a while that you'd like to see come back in year three? Whether it's a big name, someone who just you haven't had a chance to book in a while, former WWE guy. Who's one name you'd like to see come back?
That's a good question. I always enjoy having Matt Cross. He was a joy to have. I think he had some really cool matches in Limitless Wrestling.
Can I give you one? I would love to see Paul London come back.
Yeah, as would I, now that he's wrestling. He wasn't wrestling for quite a few months there. He got real banged up, and I think it was kind of a good refreshment time for him. I'm speaking for him. I don't fucking know. But I would guess that he, you know, took some time off to heal up some injuries, and he just recently came back. So yeah, I'd love to see Paul London was
one of the nicest guys that I've met in a Limitless locker room. He was super, super nice, and he and AG, before AG got a little cocky, had one hell of a match.
Yeah, man, that's for free on YouTube too. If you haven't seen that, definitely check that one out, because that's a cool one. That's, you know. And Anthony Green will tell you, I think Paul London's in his top three of his favorite professional wrestlers. So it was a cool moment for AG, but it was an exceptional fucking match.
Who's one big name that you would love to book for Limitless in year three?
Obviously Cody, man.
Okay. Well, someone who's a realistic main eventer. Okay, how about this? Someone you haven't booked before that you would love to book in year three.
Okay.
Big name here. Who it's logistically possible to do so.
I mean, Pentagon Jr. has been the one that we've been... Pentagon and Matt Riddle, who I don't think will have a chance to
Matt
get.
Matt Riddle, you're not going to have
anyway.
A chance. I hate to break it to you. You're not going to get a chance.
But those are two
you had, here's a little story. You had tried to get Matt Riddle before, right?
He was booked, man.
Yeah.
He was booked on Hook, Line, and Sinker in 2016.
That's
but
right.
Got in a fender bender on the way up.
That's
here.
Right. We've told to that it. Story on this podcast. That's right.
Yeah. Right. So he had been booked one time, and literally I'd been in contact with both numerous times. Matt Riddle and I pretty much spoke about every date in the past like year and a half, but it just was not able to be worked out with either. So that's been a bummer. I'm trying to think other than them. Man, this is a weird one, but I've always wanted to book Trevor Murdoch, and I know he's not working anymore, but
look, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. Trevor Murdoch would be super over in Maine.
Dude, if I could have had Trevor Murdoch up here, like 2008 or 9,
oh my God.
Trevor Murdoch up here to fucking fight James Drake, like how cool would that have been? That would have been Southern wrestling main event right
Give me
there.
Jay Freddie and Trevor Murdoch right now.
Oh
that's
my
a match.
God,
that's a match
dude.
That I want
to
see.
I have so many dream matches in place for Trevor Murdoch, and that's the weirdest one ever. But, man, there are so many possibilities.
That is an odd one.
Yeah, I agree. It is a weird one.
Oh, man, I'm trying to think. First off, I would love to see Flip Gordon come back.
My other one was Shelton Benjamin, too, before he got re-signed.
Yeah. That would have been a good one, too. I would love to see Flip Gordon come back. Obviously, his price has gone up quite a bit recently.
Well, he's just so busy now.
Yeah, but he does get back to New England every now and then.
Yeah.
And that's good, and it's good to see him still working there and doing stuff there. I'll tell you this, I want to see more Brody King in 2018, 2019.
Me too. Christopher Daniels is another one, before I forget. That's always been one that I wanted to book because I feel he came up here, man, it must have been like 2013, and had a match on a really small show and I think had a really bad taste in his mouth afterwards. And I always really wanted to – I believe he is exclusive now from what I understand to Ring of Honor, but he was always one that I wanted to have up here.
I'm going to keep thinking on this because I would love to see – so many of these different you know who I'd love to see you get Hangman Page up here. I know he was supposed to come up and something got in the way, but if you could make that happen.
He was never supposed to come up for me, brother.
Who am I confusing it with?
I have no idea, but I'd love to have him.
oh no, it wasn't Hangman Page. It was what's his face? Bullet Club.
Chase Owens.
Chase Owens, thank you, Chase Owens. That's who was supposed to come up. You should get Hangman Page too, but
I agree.
Chase Owens, I'd still love to see Chase Owens come up.
Yeah, me too. I definitely think if the schedule allows, he'll be up maybe by the end of the year. Who knows?
Okay. Well, how about this, guys? If you've got someone in mind that you're just dying to see in a Limitless Wrestling ring, whether they're a big star or a nobody that hasn't been discovered yet, tweet at LW Main. Let Randy know.
Yeah, please. Definitely tweet us. And especially if it's someone who I may not have heard of. I live for that stuff. Like, I live for the random.
Have there ever been times that someone has just sent you a tape and you're like, I need that guy, I need that girl?
Yeah, occasionally. Like, the first time that I saw Eli Everfly, because actually Brett Lauderdale of GCW suggested him to me. And Brett sent me a match that he had at GCW. And I wanted him from that instant. But, you know, I usually book shows so far out, so it took us a few months to actually set up bringing him in. But I felt that way with him. I felt that way with Brody King. And Harlow O'Hara was actually a girl who I found from Harry, who had taken pictures and video from a show in Atlanta and kind of got his seal of approval on her. And she's, exceptional. So anytime it's just I live for those random fucking tapes of people who I've never seen before. The Everfly match too, I think it was with Unbreakable Andy, who's another dude who's just like hidden gem of the New Jersey, New York area, who I'd love to get up here sometime.
All right. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to year three. We have so much more year three stuff to get into as the weeks unfold, but make sure you head over to Let's Wrestle this Friday at the American Legion Post 84 in Orno. Tickets will be available, and bell time is 7:30, and it's going to be a great show. And you never know who's going to show up.
You never know. I'll be there.
There might be a big Adam's apple show up. That'd be something. But for now, Randy, anything else you want to add?
Not really, man. If you do want to come out to Let's Wrestle, tickets are still available online. They'll be available till tomorrow night at 11:59 p.m., and then they'll go offline when Friday hits. But no fear, you can still buy them at the door if you want to wait to the last minute. Front row tickets, $10. General admission, $8. Going to be a really fun night of professional wrestling, and I think we're all going out for an after party at the Roost. So if you want to come hang out after the show, you're going to have a couple brewskis and eat some wings.
The Roost has, and this is This is an endorsement. This is an, I'll say this, this is an Emmy Award-winning endorsement.
Oh,
the
boy.
Roost has some of the best wings I've ever had.
No, I don't disagree, man. I don't disagree.
If
They're
you
very
are
going
good. To this, if you are going to this after party, you order up their Carolina Lightning wings. They are life-changing. They are that damn good. So much so, I got the former owner of the Roost to give me the recipe for the sauce.
And I made it myself,
and it was to die for. These are some of the best wings you will ever have. So that sounds like a pretty great night. Wrestling, beer, wings. Who doesn't
yeah,
want that?
Yeah, and also, I want to throw this little tidbit out there, too. For any Central Maine wrestling fans, there's going to be a really cool announcement involving Limitless Wrestling at a pretty, I don't know, pretty popular establishment in the Bangor Brewer area pretty soon. So be on the lookout for that.
That's exciting. I don't even know what you're talking about, so I can't wait to find out.
Yeah.
And yeah. All right, folks. Well, make sure you subscribe to the Limitless Wrestling Podcast on iTunes, Podbean, wherever you get this thing. He's Randy Carver. I'm John Alba. We will see you next week.